case you missed it on our Instagram, we are throwing a charity game. Kick the Stigma is coming November 16th on our YouTube channel.
We're getting a bunch of Toronto influencers involved. If you want to see more information, you can click the first link in the description to donate and check out our Instagram in the coming weeks for updates. Over to the episode. All right, boys, after this weekend, who do you think is winning the Premier League?
Is it fair to say nobody? Like, should I be saying nobody?
Will Sunderland shout, perhaps?
Dude, like, at this point, honestly, it's weird because none of these teams, the favorite teams, the Liverpools, the Arsenals, the Cities, none of them have really impressed me so far. Like, I haven't been enthralled watching them. I haven't been enamored watching them like I usually am. Like, last year with Liverpool, like, they were consistently good in their football. This year, they haven't started very well. In the game, it's not very good. I could say the same thing for Arsenal. Arsenal don't look very good in the game.
I think Arsenal look decent, man. Arsenal's moving me a little bit.
I'm going with Arsenal in the Prem.
Still?
That's my team.
I think City's still with it, like an outside shot to win it.
Still with it, yeah, too.
5-1 against Burnley, but I feel like, you know, too late Haaland goals. I don't know if it was too nice. They deserve to win, though.
I think I'm going to stick with City.
You're sticking with City still?
I'm going to stick with City. Because I can't bail on my prediction after, what, 3-4 weeks?
6 weeks.
Yes, but we did our predictions how long ago?
Before week one.
Oh, we did it before?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Then no, I can't bail on it right away.
I'm just saying you have a big enough sample size to say like, I don't know how I feel about them. Mm-hmm. And honestly, City have given me a little more pause than I want.
Like, there's question marks on every favorite right now. Yeah. There's question marks with Liverpool, there's question marks with Arsenal, there's question marks with City.
A lot of question marks.
What about you, Julian? What do you think? Man U?
Fuck you.
Is there any like outside shouts? Chelsea, there's question marks too. I mean, they were kind of in the debates of they were. No one was really saying they were going to win the league, but top four.
Definitely a disappointing collapse from them this weekend. I think the last thing you think after this weekend is, oh yeah, Chelsea's going to have to go in the Premier League. Like, but you never know. Weird. Like, you think fucking Conte when he was there, mm-hmm. they had a poor start to the Premier League. He switches up his tactics and then go on a crazy run.
Yeah.
Like, what's stopping any team from going on a run like that? Like, you don't really know.
I'm looking at this top five right now, or this entire table. It looks like straight out of Football Manager. It looks like I'm playing career mode right now. I got Liverpool, Arsenal, and Crystal Palace at third, and Sunderland at fifth with Bournemouth sixth. Like, it's all over the place right now. It's hard to call.
If I have to call somebody, I'm thinking Arsenal right now.
Give me City.
For me, preseason, it was between Arsenal and City, and now City have dropped off a little bit. I'm kind of switching my prediction to Arsenal.
Okay.
But anyways.
Well, just know we're going to stay on the boat over here, and when we win, don't hop back on, okay?
Okay. We'll get into Liverpool losing. We'll get into Arsenal winning dramatically. We'll get into all the teams' highs and lows throughout the Premier League and the European weekend. But before we get into that, welcome back, everybody, to the Six-Yard Box Podcast.
We're here.
I'm joined here by... We are here.
We are here.
It feels a little weird to kind of just skip over that a little bit, but we are indeed here. I'm joined in this episode by European champion Antoine. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very good. Yeah.
And it's a warm welcome back
Big to Naps.
Welcome back, brother.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
I love being on this podcast.
Yeah? Big third episode?
Big third episode.
Beautiful.
Hopefully... Not the last one.
No, not the last Hopefully one. Hopefully, we got Champions League predictions.
Bring
coming.
Some City ball knowledge to the pod. Mm-hmm. So
last time you were here was Champions League preview, Champions League final preview.
Champions League final preview.
A couple months ago,
because I somehow predicted that final, which is crazy.
Yeah, that was.
But
you predicted that. Predicted the result.
No, definitely not the result of the final.
That did was, you predict Inter to win the final?
I predicted Inter to win the final. I think I said 3-2, or. 3-1 maybe?
Okay.
Yeah, that wasn't even close.
But you had them winning.
Yeah, I had them winning.
I think the fact that you predicted that final got you a ticket into that seat for the preview, right?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
100%.
So I'm expecting a worldie prediction. No, I'm kidding.
If I have to predict.
Still our most viewed Instagram reel.
Yeah. Is it?
5 million.
Is it even after the De Jong clip?
Crazy.
Damn.
Yeah.
That is wild. 5 mil is insane.
Instagram was just
you still getting likes on that comment or no? Really?
I still get likes on the comment.
That's crazy.
On that post.
That's insane.
But yeah, they boosted it after like it actually the finals actually happened. Yeah, yeah. They boosted it. Like they doubled the views So
were you getting hate after the final actually happened?
No. Everyone was everybody was replying to the comment just glazing. I'm not gonna lie. They were just glazing and a lot of likes on I think I have like 12,000 to 13,000 likes on the comment. Which is wild, but yeah.
That's crazy.
I don't think any of us have pulled off a better prediction than that.
No,
in,
never.
Like, the history and of the
it's
show.
Like, when you think about it, it's genuinely almost impossible to predict.
No, genuinely.
We did the Club World Cup ones, which is one leg, straight elimination, and fairly predictable matchups, I'd say.
Yeah.
And we were wrong within the round of 16.
When we were predicting the round of 16, PSG were about to go up against Liverpool. Inter had Bayern, Barcelona. Mm-hmm. Didn't look particularly like dominating in that point in the season. It's like, I don't know. I don't know who would have called it, but
hey. I should have bet on that.
You should have bet on that.
I seriously should have bet on that.
You can make serious money on that for sure.
Are you gonna?
I regret every day, but
you gonna put a bet on Arsenal winning the league?
Probably won't win that much money if it happens, because I think they're either the favorite or second favorite behind Liverpool. I think is actually still, yeah. Mm-hmm. Still at the top.
You wouldn't get crazy,
but
let's get into Liverpool. Mm. They lost at the weekend, their first loss of the season, and they got embarrassed.
They did get embarrassed, but they got embarrassed by a good team, though. Let's not forget that.
Crystal Palace. I think we need to give a lot of love to Crystal Palace.
Because let's give the love first.
Let's
so then
give the
we
love
can
first,
after
and, then
on
we're,
Liverpool.
And then
yeah.
we're shitting on it.
Yeah, because it's a good achievement, being undefeated still in the league for Crystal Palace, beating Liverpool, drawing to Chelsea. There's a lot of good performances in there, and that's after losing their most creative player in Eze.
Yeah.
I mean, Mark Gahey did stay, your captain does stay, but does he really want to be there? Let's be honest right now. Like, It's probably his mindset is definitely not there right now. So just to stick with that and to follow on the same trajectory that you were on last season, end of last season,
yeah.
And also with the Europa League stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of things going on at Crystal Palace that could weigh the club down, but they're still staying afloat.
And I love to see it. Like, they should have been up 3-0 at halftime. The amount of chances,
maybe even more,
they had in the first half, yeah, literally could have been 5-0 at halftime, yeah. If they buried all their chances. Yeah. Like, Mateta himself could have had a hat trick in the first half.
If it wasn't for a great Alisson, the scoreline genuinely could have been, yeah, 4-5-0 at halftime.
So as it approaches like the 80th, the 85th minute, and then Chiesa ties it up, you're like, all right.
Here we go again.
We've seen this script before. We know exactly how this is going. But Eddie Nketiah, out of all people, scores the winner in the last minute, and it's absolute limbs.
A very well-taken goal as well.
Very well-taken goal.
Chest touch into volley.
Yeah. I don't even know what they were checking after that.
I think this was a slight offside show, but
whatever, man. That's all it was. If they disallowed that, but then gave the Liverpool goal after the Salah handball, yeah. Didn't he? I don't know, but
that would have been crazy.
You absolutely love to see it, man.
But you do love to see it. It's good for the league. That means Liverpool don't run away right away.
Yeah. And now Arsenal are 2 points behind.
Yeah, Arsenal are 2 points behind. And following how they've been playing, this is, I want to say, almost normal that they lost this game.
Yeah. Like, they deserve to lose this game.
Yeah. They didn't deserve to win this game at all.
Not at all.
So now let's get on to shitting on them.
Let's get on to shitting on them. This has been a long time coming for Liverpool, man. They've been subpar to start the season. I think we can all agree on that. And they've done what Crystal Palace has done to them here so many times already this season. This was a long time coming.
Mm-hmm. Right? I think the difference with what Crystal Palace did to Liverpool 2 days ago or this weekend is that Crystal Palace actually genuinely deserved to win.
Yeah.
I can look at some of these last games that Liverpool scraped to win, and I don't think they seriously deserve to win some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Newcastle, 10 men, you concede 2 goals against a 10-man Newcastle. Yep. Do you really deserve to win that game?
Yeah, get saved by 16-year-old.
Against Burnley, you do deserve to win that game because you peppered them the entire game. Yes. But, like, here, Crystal Palace genuinely deserved the win. So I don't think they pulled a Liverpool on Liverpool, but it's still embarrassing for Liverpool.
Verts 007.
Yes. Oh, we are here. God. We are here.
He is garbage. He is terrible.
Fully garbage.
I don't know what happened to him. That guy went from one of the best like midfielders to watch, or attacking midfielders to watch, in the entire world. He probably still is one of the best midfielders in the world, skill wise, technical wise. But
yeah,
the way he's playing right now, it looks like
I'm not even that bothered with how he's playing right now, though.
I'm on the train that he's horrible.
I'm not bothered with how he's playing right now. Like, yes, he doesn't have the goals and the assists. And everybody is going to look at that and say, you paid 150 million euros for this player, and through 7 games in the Premier League, he has done nothing for you in terms of output. But I look at this guy in the game, in the build-up, on the ball, and it's not as bad as people make it out to be.
No.
Yes, it's not good for a player of that caliber,
mm-hmm,
and for what he was before coming into Liverpool. But let's not forget, he still needs to adapt to the league. He's I'm not even sure if he speaks the damn language. Like, these players need to gel, need to learn to adapt to the Premier League. And yeah. I'm not going to give him that much stick for it because he's still an incredible player. We know what Florin Wirtz is like.
I agree with you, but if someone was to tell you, like, that he'd be 007, would you
believe it? Would be hard for me to believe it.
Yeah.
As the starting attacking midfielder.
You'd be surprised.
It would be hard for me really to believe it.
You'd be really surprised.
And then especially if I look at the man right above him in Ekitike,
mm-hmm.
starting off the season incredibly. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't need to adapt whatsoever.
Yeah. It's not even like a Bundesliga thing where now it's like, okay, you have somebody in front of you who played on a worse team in the Bundesliga absolutely cooking for Liverpool. And I know situations can always be different. Wirtz's role is not always being that second striker
and
getting GA
and
like it was at Bayer Leverkusen. But still, you would have expected like a moment or something. And there's been like little pockets of like, oh, I see the vision there. But like, that's the kind of... Like you'd be having that patience with somebody who's like 50 or 60 million, not 100 million more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly. I'm kind of getting on the Blake train where I'm a little bit like, I fully understand in normal circumstances, we need to have patience here, but how much patience can you have for the most expensive Premier League signing of all time at the time he was bought? The other most expensive Premier League signing of all time was Isak, who scored his first goal for Liverpool in the Carabao Cup midweek. But I think... Didn't put his best foot forward in this game.
He is someone that I really don't like. I don't think he should have left Newcastle at all. I don't think that transfer should have happened. I think he should have stayed. They're playing in Champions League this year.
Well, I thought that was going to be the biggest reason why he stayed.
Yeah,
he would have stayed. Yeah. Them having Champions League football. And I think you said you don't really like the player. I think a lot of people nowadays don't like Isak. Just because of how he dealt with leaving Newcastle.
Like, he didn't show up to training. He basically forced his way out.
He boycotted Newcastle.
Exactly.
And we had these conversations. Like, is this really the way to get a transfer out nowadays? Like, it was successful with Isak. It was successful with Wissa. It was successful with another player. I forget
Garnacho.
Who. Garnacho, yes. Mm-hmm. Like, so he's very hated.
Yeah, I lose all respect for those players. All my respect for them are gone.
But now you have to back it up with performances. And through two games in the Premier League, obviously he's not completely... match fit all this. He didn't have a preseason.
Yeah.
I can understand that. But it hasn't looked like the Isak from Newcastle.
No, I love when players like that don't succeed.
Yeah?
Yeah, oh, I love it. I love it. He's playing terrible. He looks terrible. He should have just stayed.
You think he should have stayed at Newcastle?
He should have stayed. That team with him would have been like a threat. Like another top four season, I could see for sure.
I still see them having a good season because of how Volta Mata's been integrated in that team.
True.
Yeah. I like him. But yeah, if he had stayed, then they would have definitely been maybe even a contender. Yeah, a contender for top four, maybe even for the title.
Yeah, dude, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Isak. I don't like him now. I don't. You know what? Garnacho, though, I don't blame him too much.
It's a different situation. It was more mutual.
Because he didn't get the playing time that he really wanted or... I don't want to say deserved because he didn't really...
And now he's hugging
really...
the bench for Chelsea.
Yeah, exactly. So he forced his way out to just not play, to play even less than he did at United, so...
Exactly. Salah's had a slow start as well.
So slow, too.
Like, we could go over a lot of these players and say they've had slow starts because it hasn't been appealing from Liverpool.
Like, Liverpool's best attacker so far this year, you're looking at Ekitike,
Gakpo,
and Chiesa.
Chiesa.
Off the bench.
That's been your
Chiesa
best
rebirth.
Players.
Chiesa rebirth year.
I know you love to see
that.
I want him to just start a game. Just
he was added to their Champions League squad.
Was he?
Yeah, because one of their players got injured.
Yeah,
who?
I don't even know how you leave a player like Chiesa off. I guess their squad is pretty good all around, but when Chiesa gets his opportunities, he makes the most of them
for sure.
So
Salah's not been doing that.
Very
slow start.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, with his age, we've been saying this for a couple of years now, like, oh, this is the year that he slows down. I thought this is kind of the performances that he'd be putting in last year, but he just exploded. I'm not saying, oh, fraud watch, oh, whatever. Like, we knew he's going to slow down eventually. They have replacements to eventually replace him.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be worried about it from a Liverpool perspective.
It does feel a little bit weird, though. It feels weird because obviously every year we say he's going to slow down.
Yeah,
but he actually is slowing down now.
I know.
Every year
it's
he proves us wrong, and he does it over and over again, and proves everybody wrong, and scores his goals, and terrorizes the Premier League. But this time it's actually slowing down. And we said this at the beginning of the season. We thought that the workload was going to be kind of alleviated off of his shoulders because of the new additions in Verts and in Isak, Akitike, everybody in the attacking sector of the game. But, I mean, I guess we were right.
Yeah.
But the impact that he has now seems very, like, it almost seems like next to nothing.
Yeah.
I was analyzing his game against Crystal Palace, and he was almost a nuisance for Liverpool.
Yeah.
The crosses he was sending in weren't accurate. The link up wasn't really there. The shots he was attempting weren't smart. There's problems there, and he needs to find something to pick a season back up, because it can go south really quick.
I agree with you, dude. I mean, he also looked really good in the Champions League just a couple days before that. Like, he still has those performances in his locker.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're just going to be fewer and farther.
It's not like he's a washed baller anymore.
I think he's just going to be like,
not yet.
Like mid. I don't think he's going to be like really bad or really good. I think he's just going to be like mid.
Son the last couple of years. Still moments.
Exactly.
But, you know, you're slowly integrating him out the team.
Yeah. I hope he still has one more season in him. I still think he does. I still think he can have a good season in him.
So he just signed a new contract.
And then maybe next year he starts fading away.
Like, let me see how much they're paying him. He signed a two-year contract in April 2025, taking him to the summer of 2027.
Okay,
so it wasn't like a crazy, like, five-year deal he earned.
You don't do that.
Okay. I'm sure he'll be making a ton of money till then, but okay. That's not bad then. You said Konate looked bad as well?
Yeah, you want to talk about other people looking bad. Konate is a big one in this game. I mean, he looked off the mark.
He did.
He looked awful.
Yeah.
In the duels, in his passing, he gave the ball away a couple times. Like, I don't know what's happening. This guy was one of the best center backs last season, and his season so far, I remember in the Bournemouth opener, he also looked a little poor. Shocking, almost, I want to say.
Yeah.
And it's weird because this guy was probably the second best or top five center back in the Premier League last season.
Absolutely.
A key factor in Liverpool winning the league, doing as good as they did. But his start to the season also, it's worrying. Like, a lot of these players on Liverpool, I'm worried for because of the start of the season they've been putting up.
Hmm. Do you think they'll pick it back up? Like, do you think it'll all click?
I'm sure it will click. I don't see a world in which it wouldn't click.
Yeah.
And you have all these good players and a proven system that has worked last year when you just absolutely blitzed the league.
Yeah.
No competition whatsoever. So I want to say it's going to work, but every time I say it's going to work, then I look at the next game and it's almost the same signs over and over again.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I think eventually, like, all of a sudden, like, you think of, like, the ramifications if Liverpool don't have a good season, and, like, all of a sudden, Arne Slot goes from, like, one of the most hyped up managers in Europe to automatically on the chopping block. And rightfully so. You're spending nearly half a billion in the transfer market, and then you don't end up winning the league, and you don't meet any of your expectations. I think any manager would be on the chopping block after that.
Do you think the way in which he started his Liverpool career is going to be detrimental for his future?
It depends.
Like, you
it
set depends. Such high standards.
Yeah,
if you don't
exactly.
deliver every year, then you're gone.
It kind of depends how it goes in the locker room, depends how the players are doing, depends what the injury situation is like, depends what other managers are on the market at the time. A bunch of other factors will go into it, but I think that conversation is going to have to be had at some point, at least to the point it's like, is he as good of a manager as we were saying 12 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Anyways, off that transition, let's talk about another manager who's going to be maybe on the chopping block this season. That is Mikel Arteta, whose Arsenal team won dramatically.
It's not like I didn't warn you guys.
At the weekend at St. James's Park. Who would have seen this coming?
It's not like I didn't warn you guys.
So, Naps, I'm going to first read you Blake's text in the group chat.
Let's hear this.
it's quite a lot. Every single Arsenal game, this man could put together an essay with how quickly he is typing. Yeah. So
let's
all
just,
before this,
let's just
he's
give
like,
context for whoever didn't watch the game. Newcastle opened the scoring in the first half, and then Arsenal
first, like 10 minutes.
Yeah, early,
no,
the first 20. I think it was like 20.
Okay,
something.
Okay. Yeah.
In the first half, Newcastle opened the scoring, and then up until the 70th minute, Arsenal don't score, don't equalize, and then they finally
they
get that winner.
Did
at the
nothing.
End.
They didn't even like. They did nothing all the way until the 70th minute.
Newcastle had them in a chokehold almost at some point.
Yeah. So Blake is saying, and mind you, there's not many responses to these texts. Like, he's mainly going himself unprompted. Shouldn't even be surprised at this point, man. It happens every single week. Just so predictable, man. No idea. There's a slight push, though, on Gabrielle, but not enough, obviously. This commentator is awful, by the way. Like, I genuinely hate watching this team right now. It's just not fun. Yeah, my head's gone, dot, dot, dot. Y'all were right. This team has no ballers. Filled with losers. One goal rattles us, and we start playing like shit. I said we wouldn't win. Yeah, we will draw. Genuinely, lads, I don't want to watch the Prem anymore. It's just so awful for my mental health. It's six games in, and I just can't anymore. Nah, man, Yacht gets no service. Saka looks stale. The left side is mid. Eze has no influence on this game. Obviously, my head's gone, but this is exactly the same shit I saw last season. Should be 2-0 down. We are woeful. It's just awful to watch. This genuinely the least excited I've ever been watching an Arsenal game. Just wait. Nick Pope is God. We don't get any refereeing decisions. Missing sitters. It's just over. Nothing's going to fucking change. Is seventh place good, chat? Martinelli in for Saka. 10 laughing emojis. Draw is not good enough after Mikel Merino scores. I said on pod we would get a draw, and I said that wasn't good enough. Happy we weren't losing, obviously, but we don't play good football anymore. Teta has been figured out for a year now.
that's when Gabriel scores.
All caps. We're so back, chat. While I look like a right mug right now, we are all the way back. Lads, I want to apologize for my unbearableness today. I was sorry. I am unbelievably, inexplicably wrong, and I'm sorry. I will try to be better.
Bro, like,
I was wrong about the football, wrong about this team being losers. They are not. That was just the emotion talking. Yeah, they may still have issues, but they have fight in them, that's for sure. Odegaard with a wonderful cameo too, which is always nice. Huge win, back in the title race. Now we go.
I agree with him at the end there. They do have fight. They have fight in them.
But this is what's going to win them the league.
By the way, this is exactly what is going to kill Arsenal fans. It's their delusion after scoring a last-minute winner where, yes, you show fight, but look at the product in the game. Look at the 90 minutes. I'm sorry. That is not good. That is not good football. The fact that he was right when he said that after you concede one goal, you seem rattled. They absolutely seemed rattled after that conceded goal. That's not good enough. That's not title-winning worthy.
Yeah. I also do want to raise this. We're going to St. James's Park. It's a very difficult fixture. I think it was, 2 years ago when they went to St. James's Park, they did not have a shot on target. Last year when they went to St. James's Park in the Premier League, they got one shot on target. When they went there in the Carabao Cup last season, they got eliminated, obviously, in January. And within half an hour on Sunday's game, they had two great shots from Eze that forced good saves off Nick Pope.
Yes.
Leandro Trossard hit the post. Mm-hmm. Bukayo Saka was making inroads on the right. Like, they looked like the much better team. Newcastle scores against the run of play. Obviously, from that point, there's some questions as Arsenal's performance.
Take it from fight, when Newcastle score onwards. Are you happy with how they played?
I'm not saying I am. I'm not saying any Arsenal fan should be. But Blake, you're right. They did dig deep, and they scored two goals in the last 10 minutes. And sometimes that's what champions have to do. That's what Liverpool has been doing countless times so far this season. And sometimes you're going to have results like that. Like,
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to be negative Nancy today. I don't want to be, because I was shitting on Liverpool and now I'm shitting on Arsenal.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this team right now and I just see a bunch of nice guys. Like, I just see guys that give you their lunch money during lunchtime and that don't know when to stop. You keep asking them over and over again. Take it. And they don't know when to stop. They're too nice. They need killers, man. They need killers in this team. Blake said it. Saka looked stale yesterday. I don't know if it's because he just came off an injury, but he looked stale. He needs to step it up. Gyökeres, you can say no service. I'm sorry. Not a good striker in the game.
Yeah.
He's a great finisher, but, dude, like, sometimes I see some of his touches. It's bad. It's not good. It is not good.
You disagree with that, Naps?
Yeah, I disagree. I think he's generational.
You think
Okay.
Generational talent. If he gets the support, he's going to be the leading goal scorer in the
How much
prime.
More support do you want? You have Saka, Eze, Martinelli.
They're sleeping, though. They're sleeping right now. They're sleeping. Once they wake up.
If you're saying Gyökeres gets no service with Saka, Eze, and Madueke on the wings, I'm sorry, I don't know what you want.
Eze's tough.
I don't know what you want.
I like Eze.
Because these players clearly have what it takes to give him the quote-unquote service. I think it's genuinely in his lack of football IQ that he is not getting his service. I don't think it's on the people that's supposed to give him the service. I think it's on Gyökeres not showing him, not being available for these players to give him that service.
I agree with that.
It's also different coming from, like, a, I don't know, this might hurt Julian, but a little bit of a farmer's league to to the Prem, well, you know?
I mean, it's a genuine conversation. You're absolutely right. How much are you attributing 60 goals in the Portuguese league? How many goals do you want that to translate to in the Prem?
Yeah.
Yes, he's going to score his goals. Yes, he's going to score 15-plus goals in the Premier League against the Leeds, against the Sunderlands, against the lower teams, the smaller teams. But in big games, I am worried for Victor Gyökeres. Big games so far, against Man City, wasn't there. Against Newcastle, wasn't there. Is that against Liverpool? Against Liverpool, invisible as well.
Yep. United.
United as well.
Yeah.
You know what? He does need to get some like one-on-one training with like Eze or someone who could dribble, because he does have brick feet. His feet are bricks.
Timberlands on. We weren't making those jokes at the beginning of the season for no reason. Just because he's scoring his goals now, just because he scored two goals against Leeds, just because he's been scoring here and there, it doesn't take away his technical ability.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think at the beginning of the season, we were actually saying that he'll be way more effective in the big games when you're working more in transition. Obviously, he scored a lot of goals of that caliber for Sporting. And it was more the team, like, it was more against your Leeds, against your Burnleys, against your Evertons, against those low blocks where I was saying I think he's going to struggle. And that's where you bring in, like, a Kai Havertz when he's available. But it's actually the opposite, where when he's playing against the smaller teams is when he's actually doing his best work. And he's absolutely invisible in the biggest moments. And if that trend continues later on the season, you're trying to win the Premier League, you're trying to win the Champions League, the going gets super, super tough. You're going to need Victor Gyökeres in those big games. He needs to show up in these big games. If he doesn't, they are screwed.
And let me stress this, because I know Blake is going to get on my ass for saying this. I want him to do good. I want Arsenal to succeed this season. For his sake and for every Arsenal fan's sake that have been struggling over the past 3 years thinking they're going to win the league and they haven't. I want these people to prove me wrong. Put me in an edit. I want these guys to prove me wrong. But I just find it very hard to believe that they will. And Gyökeres is probably the biggest example I can give.
You know what's crazy, though? He played so well against like big teams in the Champions League last year with Sporting.
It's different, though.
Against City.
You're playing in transition for a smaller team against bigger teams. Like, you're gonna
with
have
a
more
system that's way more tailored to work in transition.
Exactly. Yeah. We had this conversation at the beginning of the season. Is the system Gyökeres is coming into, is it good?
It's way different from Sporting.
It's very different. It's so much different.
No. There's clearly a quality there. Like, I'll fucking admit that. But yeah. I want to talk a little bit about your point, Naps, that you think this Arsenal team are fighters. I just think that's such a cherry-picked like statement that people give whenever a team gets a late winner. Like, they were pulling late winners from Reece Nelson a couple seasons back, and they were saying, and Eddie and Nketiah winners, and you're saying, oh my God, these guys are just winners. They have it. But clearly they didn't have it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, every team can score, can get late goals, can get late equalizers against City, can get late winners at St. James's Park. Like, you know, Spurs got a last-minute equalizer this week against Wolves. Would you say they're fighters? No, they're not fucking fighters. Why are you 1-0 down against Wolves in the 95th minute, you know? I think same goes for Arsenal here. Is it great that they got this win?
Yes.
Absolutely. Champions performance, exactly. You could say.
What this performance does, I was saying this after the United-Burnley game, and you guys were laughing at me because I said this, but what this win does is that it unites a group together. It doesn't matter what stage of the season you're in, a win like this unites people together. Yeah. So that's good for them.
Yeah. And then United won their next game after that, which is very rare for them. Yeah. So clearly did something.
Very rare for them.
Was it Chelsea?
No. It was.
Was it Chelsea?
Actually, no, we lost. Oh, no, you lost. Never mind.
But it was after an international break, so the vibes kind of lowered down a little bit.
No, we're yet to win two Premier League games in a row under Emery.
It's a feel for that guy cutting his hair. That's not cutting his hair.
It's not cutting his hair? What do you...
You didn't see that guy? The United fan not cutting his hair?
Oh, I thought you meant Amorim not cutting his hair. I was like, what?
No.
Yeah, how long do you think?
United strand. He's going on for a while.
We'll get into it when we get into it. But I want to go to Chelsea first, if you don't mind. But anything else to say about Arsenal?
Their defense is mighty. I don't want to... Like, their defense is good. Christian Mosquera had a howler. That's what led to the first goal. It was a mistake from him that led to a corner, and then they scored off that corner.
Yeah.
But their defense has killers. Just the rest of the team are nice guys.
Lack of ballers, I will still say.
Lack of ballers.
Although, Odegaard did come on and look
Give me
good.
One player on Arsenal right now that can flip a game on its head no matter the situation. And I'm going to find it hard to believe.
Gabriel.
Gabriel, if you have a corner.
Set pieces, actually.
That says exactly what I need
player,
to know. That's
a player, set pieces.
That says exactly what Saka, I need to know. Saka is the main guy, yes. Saka is the player you could put forward where I can hear you out. But I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced in any given situation when the going gets tough against the bigger teams. I'm not convinced that Saka can flip a game on its head like that. Can be that individual player like a Lamine Yamal, like a Kylian Mbappe, like an Ousmane Dembele that can flip the game on its head like that.
I think their biggest thing that can flip its game on its head is their set pieces, which isn't really like a knock on them because not many teams can really say that.
No, they're mighty at that. They're good at that.
From free kicks, from corners, they're mighty.
Mm-hmm. I think 95% of their training set pieces. Everything else is just...
It is
5% for everything else.
I just realized yesterday that Nicolas Jover was French.
That who?
Nicolas Jover, their set piece coach.
Really?
It's French.
Did not think so with that last name.
Yeah, I know, me neither. So now I'm taking a little bit of credit. I'm taking a little bit of credit for this. Yeah.
For the set piece?
Yeah, maybe.
Success? Yeah.
Well, they do all their training. Well, they do a lot of their set piece training in like the Middle East. They go...
Really?
Like during international breaks or during like... Whenever they have like a week off, they go to like the UAE to do their training. It's so weird.
For what? Because it's hotter over there?
I don't know. There's just training.
Maybe there's something in the air there for set pieces.
Maybe. Facilities.
Maybe some coaches over there that needs credit. Anyways, let's go over to Chelsea now. They absolutely collapsed.
Yeah.
They absolutely collapsed. I think
you forgot to mention something. You told me you wanted to mention real quick the penalty shout for Arsenal.
Oh, I think the penalty shouts in general annoy me. I want to be quick on it. Mm-hmm. But it's like Blake has been also sending like 5 different posts about how they should have had a penalty. But he'll say nothing about the Gabriel handball that you could argue should have been a penalty.
It's a great save.
It's just like...
It was a great save.
I don't know, man. Like, the ref talk is just so, so exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
I hate having it. But yeah. I know if Blake was here, he'd be forcing it. So just want to give that little shout out. Sure. Like, I don't think Jokeris should have had a penalty off Nick Pope. And he's comparing it to the Robert Sanchez situation where he... decked Brian and Bermo. And I tell Blake it's apples and oranges, and he's like, how? How? My brother, come on.
And he also didn't reply to the tweet I sent about Gabriel playing handball.
Of course not.
I also think, like, no official or ref is going to be perfect ever.
No.
Yeah.
Like, ever. Like, but I guess that's why
is
like,
his big thing is he looks at every single mistake that referees do against Arsenal, and he puts it forward as an Arsenal agenda.
It's an Arsenal agenda.
I think if everyone does that for every team, though, like...
They have a case. I say this every week, bro. Thank you.
Every single team. There's a Wolves agenda. There's a Fulham agenda. There's a United agenda. Like, everybody could say that. Yeah, everybody. He's just in a little ecosphere.
I like this new guy at this seat today. We have someone sensible. No, because Blake last week, he called me mean. He said I was mean when I get mad.
Yeah, he was dissing PSG and Dembele.
Yeah, he was dissing my Ballon d'Or winner. By the way, can't even say anything about that. Dembele's a fucking Ballon d'Or winner. I'm so happy, bro. But anyways, he was dissing me, saying I'm mean. So now this guy's much better here at this spot.
Yeah, no.
Are you ever going to wear a Juve kit to pod, by the way?
What the hell?
Until we win the league, probably not.
Bro, last time it was an Inter kit, was it? No, it was an Italy.
No, it was Roma again. Italy and Roma, yeah.
Roma, Italy, Roma.
Okay.
I like Roma. I really like Roma. I like their kids.
But it's not
too.
Your team.
It's just Dybala, isn't it?
It's Dybala. I love
Dybala. They're also ahead of you in the league now, so it's a little bit awkward.
It is.
Do they jump us?
Yeah.
I think they're third.
I think we have the same amount of points, no?
They're third. No. Juve has 11.
We have 11. Yeah. They're 4-0-1, no?
Yeah.
God, Roma's cooking.
Yeah.
They are cooking. Well, and then Napoli and Milan at the top of the league.
It's like me wearing like a Chelsea top or something.
Yeah, it's bad.
Not direct rivals, but it's still like a little odd.
Yeah. It's like if I wore a Lille kit.
Like, who's your favorite? Who's your favorite player of all time?
Griezmann.
If Griezmann went to go play for Leo.
Oh, I'm buying.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's still some situations. Like, you'll rock with Monaco sometimes in the Champions League.
Oh, yeah. I want my French teams to do good. Yeah.
Like, Brest.
Same thing. I want Roma to make Champions League next year.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, Atalanta and Champions League
different.
Right now,
I feel like it's very different is for Premier different League level. Fans. Eh?
It's so different. Mm-hmm. Like, Premier League fans hate every other team so badly.
It's that culture of hating on each other and bantering each other.
Like, don't get me wrong. Some, like, Italians are like that, too. But, like, I think, like, every Italian wants to, like, the Italian football to succeed in Europe.
Mm. Yes, and I think that's the same thing for French people, for Spanish people. For German people, they want, because their leagues are so much not worse, but they're not as good as the Premier League.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
want their teams to perform better in European competitions so that their teams could be elevated. Like what PSG did for French football last year is incredible. Like everyone in France is talking about it. Like they basically put us on the map in a way. Hmm. PSG was a big team prior to them winning the Champions League, but this certified them and certified France as like a true footballing, like a good league almost. People almost see Ligue 1 as an almost better league nowadays. Yeah. Let's go back to Chelsea.
It's good. Yeah, yeah. I don't know how we got to
good knowing your team's doing well, man. A little tangent there. It's great. Chelsea. Yeah, Chelsea, a lot of individual errors leading to a collapse. They were very comfortable heading into halftime through a goal for Enzo Fernandez. Mm-hmm. Good FPL option.
I was just about to say that.
In the coming weeks, especially if Palmer stays injured.
Yep.
Decent little FPL option. But then it was a giveaway by Andrew Santos to give the ball away to... I don't even remember who. And then Chalobah brings him down. Red card. Danny Welbeck comes on, scores a brace. Specifically, his second goal, I believe.
Yeah.
It was Achempong giving it away for the third goal. Like, these are just points you're throwing away.
Yeah.
Brighton basically did nothing until the Chalobah red card. Completely different game from that moment. Mm-hmm. So you could blame inexperience. You can blame individual errors. Like, I don't think you can really put this on Maresca, but... You know,
their last 4 in the last 4 competitive games, Chelsea have lost to Brighton.
Wow,
it's kind of like a
wow.
Yeah, they're kind of kryptonites for Chelsea
until they buy their whole team. yeah. I don't think there's anything like deeper to really say about Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, their start of the season. How would you evaluate Chelsea's start of the season?
Where are they in the table?
They are.
It's been very
eighth right now.
It's been very up and down. Like obviously, it's tough to judge, but there are definitely games in there that you would have expected them to do very, very well. But also in hindsight, like a lot of the teams that they quote unquote choked against, like I'm thinking like Crystal Palace in the opening game where they should have lost. Yeah. Like you look at that really disappointingly as a Chelsea fan, but then you see what Palace has done in the weeks after that, and you're a little bit more like relief, okay.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like, they're actually a really, really good team in hindsight. They even had Eze on the team at that point, so that's actually not a bad result in hindsight.
See, that's, like, a player that I respect, playing all the way till his transfer.
Exactly.
All the way through.
Exactly. Losing at Old Trafford is never fun, but obviously there's extenuating circumstances there. You get a red card in the first 5 minutes.
Yes.
You're kind of on your back here. And then this was another red card for the second game in a row. Like, it's very, very tough to judge. The only one where you're, like, super disappointed, thought you could have gotten more, was maybe going away to Brentford where you drew 2-2. And that was a last-minute equalizer because of Garnacho.
I don't know. I'm not content with how Chelsea have started the season. They're only two... Their only two wins are against Fulham and
West Ham, who at that time
was the worst Premier League team.
Expectations were coming into the season. Yeah. I still think like fourth place is very on the cards for them.
Of course.
I think they'll hit their stride. Sunderland, Crystal Palace will hit like a return to the mean
eventually.
Sunderland
is massive. We're staying up there.
Yeah. I'm still saying I'm you're massive. All right, I'm not saying you're fifth place worthy.
That's your prem team.
That's my prem team.
No, but they just got to clean up the really bad mistakes, and then they'll be fine.
Exactly. They're obviously good. Like they're capable of doing a lot. You know, just ask PSG. But
cheers, lad. Fuck.
That was a nice little jab. Nice little jab.
Oh, dude, we're hitting Manchester United in a couple minutes. I'm going all in then.
I think they'll be okay. These last two games, obviously concerning.
Winless in the last three.
But 2 red cards in 2 games. It's like, yes, I don't really know how to judge it.
It's circumstantial.
Their next game is against Liverpool. Wow. So that's going to be interesting.
It's going to be a good game.
It's always a fun one.
Remember when that game was called the Battle of Mid a couple years ago?
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. Remember Mudrick's dream debut where he absolutely torched them and you're like, holy crap, this guy's going to cook the whole league. They never did anything again. And now he's a runner.
Is he?
Yeah, he wants to compete in the Olympics for Ukraine.
I saw that.
He's not on Chelsea's books anymore, is he?
He still is officially.
Oh, really? Okay.
They can't cut him, but he's suspended.
Suspended?
He was doping, remember?
Oh, true.
Remember he got banned?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyways, we can go on United now.
Take me there, brother. Take me there.
I don't know why I'm wearing this blood clock clip.
Hey, 2 weeks in a row.
Second week in a row.
2 weeks in a row. You really like that kit. It's a nice kit.
It is a nice kit. I'll give him that.
It's game over for Amarim.
It's game over for Amarim?
We said this a couple weeks ago, but like, I just don't see him making it work before it's too late.
I think
I think we're in the exact same cycle we were in 12 months ago where, sure, maybe if you gave the manager enough time and sold enough players, then maybe he could recover the situation, but we're just not going to do it. We're not.
What is next for United? What is the plan if you sack Amorim? Who's on the cards? Do you trust someone to come in right away and flip the season on its head?
No, this is the thing, dude. Like, I'm apathetic towards it. I think now what happens is maybe we become Chelsea, where there's some sort of semblance of a long-term plan from the board, but the manager is not the manager anymore. It's just the head coach, where they have 8 to 12 months to get short-term results. If they can't, they're out, and then the next guy comes in. And we just go through short-term projects after short-term projects while they're still in quote-unquote identity from above them. You know, you look at who could replace Amorim. You're looking at Xavi, who apparently put his name in the hat this week. That doesn't fill me with any with any hope. Pochettino, definitely not.
He wants to do the World Cup, no?
I think so, but he might get sacked by the U.S. before that. So it's like, damn. Yeah. Southgate is currently the
favorite. Is Iraola not an option?
And then you think of Iraola, and you think of Oliver Glasner, and you think of, oh, they'd be cool options. They're pretty much the same category of manager that Amorim was 12 months ago, where it's like a raw manager that you think can come in and implement his idea as well. But you think of them in those two situations, it's like, why would they want to leave those two projects to join Man United? Like, look what's happened to Graham Potter in the couple of years since he left Brighton midseason. Yeah, money, to Chelsea. Money talks. It's like, I know money talks.
That'd probably be the only reason they'd want to leave.
100%.
Yeah.
I think what's going to happen, like, I think we still stick with Amorim. I think when it gets to, like, the international break, if we're still woeful, then I think, yeah, they're going to start looking at somebody to come in during the international break. If there's still some signs, I think they're going to keep him until, like, around Christmas time. Because I do think there is more patience towards Amorim than there was for the last manager. The last manager had more patience than the manager before that. Mm. That's what happens when United are sinking further and further down the hole. Expectations lower a little bit. And like, even though we're spending crazy amounts in the summer transfer window, you still have to just go like, you know what? It is a tough job. I still maintain that Pep could be our manager right now and he'd be struggling too. Like, I do think the issues at United go beyond Amorim. We could bring in Southgate tomorrow, and we could go on a good little run, but it's not going to lead to any meaningful change long-term.
Yeah.
But I don't even know what United can do at this point for actual meaningful long-term change. Like, I think my big thing of the summer transfer window, I said it was a 5 out of 10. I think we got rid of a good amount of players, but it wasn't the squad overhaul specifically in terms of incomings that I wanted it to be. We brought in 3 first team players. That's it. And they started. They had their first start in this game, all 3 of them together. They looked
okay in the first
half. They looked okay. There's definitely some positive signs there, but you just look at the issues that we had last season, which wasn't only the front 3, but the biggest one, I'd say, was one of the midfielders. Mm-hmm. And then the defense kind of looked shoddy from time to time. But I think specifically getting the midfielder in was the chance that we absolutely blew in the summer. And that's what we're getting punished for now.
Yeah,
it's not about the 3-back formation. It's not about that. If we turn to a 4-3-3, we're exactly in the same place than we were under Ten Hag,
yeah,
where our midfield is still a gaping hole and nothing really changes. Teams still play through us like nothing.
Mm-hmm. It's just the money thing for the lack of signings, in my opinion. Like, they didn't, what was it? Ineos don't want to spend that much money. They already spent a decent amount.
It would have been too much for Baleba.
But once we didn't get Baleba,
even though we still acknowledge we needed a midfielder, they didn't want to push for a midfielder.
Yeah, there was almost no one on the short list, it seemed like.
Are they going to break the bank for a Baleba in January? Who knows? Who knows?
And again, as you mentioned in another episode, if you did sign Baleba, odds are that he would have still been playing next to Bruno in the pivot because of Amorim's stubbornness. And I think that's the biggest thing with Amorim. I think he's just too stubborn.
I think specifically, like, there are a few baffling decisions in this game. Like, keeping, not only starting Bruno in the eight, which I have told you guys I have my issues with, but even keeping Bruno on towards the end of the game. Like, Bruno was not good in that game. And then you bring on Mainoo for Ugarte. Mainoo is now playing next to Bruno. And I understand we're being more attacking in that moment, but Amorim has also said in the past that those who aren't capable of playing next to each other, and now they're playing next to each other when we need a goal. It's just like, that confuses me a little bit. Benching Lenny Yoro for Harry Maguire, your central center back, holding the line with Igor Thiago in behind. Terrible decision.
Terrible decision. And the fact that his first goal was on Lenny Yoro's side.
It was on Maguire.
Yeah, it was on Maguire, but Lenny Yoro would have been there.
Yeah.
On that side.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and benching your best player this season so far for Maguire.
I think Maguire can be like a replacement for like a De Ligt, as in like he's like a destroyer. He's like one of like the, like not the central center back where you really need pace in behind, where he can be, he could still be somebody that's putting in tackles, but you're not necessarily, the onus is not on him to be tracking back or Thiago like it was for Brentford's first goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating.
You know who you play next?
What's that?
You know who you play next?
We play Sunderland at home.
The massive Sunderland.
So, where do we go next?
That's 0 points.
At
we
home?
Go back home to Sunderland. And I'm worried.
You're worried?
I'm worried, man.
Isidore scaring you, huh?
Isidore is scaring me. Yeah. Shaka's scaring me. The whole team is scaring me.
Yeah. Noah Siddiqui. That's your team. That's my team. Big Alderite to the goal at the weekend.
We should watch together.
I'm down. Wait, when is it?
I don't know.
October 4th? It's a
Saturday.
Oh, shit, I can't. I won't be able to. there's a baby shower happening here.
Wow.
Yeah. We got thoroughly beat. Bruno missed a pen. There's not much else to say, really. We looked horrible.
Not am happy, but I think it's better that Bruno missed the pen. Because then, at 2-2, some of the gaping holes of that game would have been covered by the scoreline. Does that make sense? Like, we all know United.
I want points, but I want points, Antoine.
Yes, I know, like, you want points. I know you want points, but I think it's just speeding up the process of getting rid of the manager.
That's true. No, I see what you're saying. I see what he's saying.
I don't know, man. Some fans actively cheer against United when they're in that mode of wanting the manager out. I will never be on that. I want United to win. You know?
You want United to win, but you want the manager gone.
I don't see another manager coming in right now and really saving United long term. Like, I don't think whether we won or drew or lost this game, that doesn't necessarily change that for me. I don't know. It's that midfielder that we didn't sign in the summer is absolutely biting us in the butt time after time after time.
Mm.
And it's so, so frustrating to see. Yeah.
Fun for us.
No.
Thanks.
Fun for us.
Cheers.
Great little monologue there, Ju.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Hope we can get a good clip out of it. Let's move on to Atleti versus Real Madrid.
Oh, now this.
Talk to me about Julian Alvarez, my friend.
Oh, my God. I was saying this last year. Julian Alvarez probably is one of the most complete players, complete strikers in the world. I've mentioned this in previous episodes. He is so good at almost everything you need a center forward to be good at.
Yeah.
He's good on the ball. His finishing is incredible. His dead ball ability is insane.
Yeah.
Like, you look at everything that you want your center forward to be, Julian Alvarez is that. It's very hard for me to find a flaw in his game. And I've said this last year. I think in a couple years, he can become one of the best strikers in the game.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best strikers in the world. If he goes to Barcelona next year, I don't see how you can stop that team.
Oh, please, no.
I don't see how you can stop that team.
Atleti's been pretty poor so far this season before this game, but there's been multiple times already where he's absolutely pulled them out the gutter, put them on his back.
It's a brace this week. It was a hat trick last week.
Yeah.
And the fact that Atleti weren't playing good before this game,
and
Julian Alvarez was still the standout player...
And there's still reports that he's not even happy at Atleti right now.
Really?
Well, I don't blame him. Remember, like, remember when Havertz got injured? Like, there were kind of reports that Atleti weren't against the idea of selling Julian Alvarez because Julian Alvarez wasn't happy or something. They had started the year very, very poorly. We were kind of talking about that. Oh, maybe he can go to Arsenal. Maybe delusionally, but still. But, like, still, like, this coming summer, Lewandowski goes. Barcelona need a striker. Julian Alvarez goes to Barcelona. That would be terrifying.
That'd be terrifying.
It'd be so nice. I haven't even thought of it till this point. Oh, my goodness.
He's such a baller, man. He is such a baller. You want to talk about players that can flip games on their heads. That's one right there.
Why the hell did City sell him, dude? I don't understand.
Because they have Haaland. Yeah. He didn't want to be the second guy. And I don't blame him.
I don't blame him.
Clearly. Look at him now. He might be in a better situation in a year than Haaland is.
He could have waited a year for De Bruyne to leave, and he would have had that like cam spot.
He would have had the cam spot, though.
Well, he played there before, and he cooked.
He has played them before, but he's more adept in sort of the center forward striker role, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time in years that Atleti's put five past Real Madrid. Mm-hmm. That Real Madrid defense looked...
Yeah, I have my gripes with United. With Real Madrid.
Who specifically in that back line?
Mr. Dean Huijsen. Step forward.
It's a Juve product right
there.
Step
forward.
No, he's
been... No, it bothers me. I feel like I'm just being very negative today, and I'm almost criticizing every team.
There's been a lot of shock results.
But there has been a lot of shock results, and there is a lot of criticizing to be done. Real Madrid look very shaky defensively. They look very shaky defensively. And we can ignore everything, but the fact is that in their first real test this season, they have failed. They have failed. And I almost want to say that it's only Atletico Madrid. It's only Atletico Madrid. And that's what worries me. The fact that it's only Atletico Madrid who have been playing so poorly so far this season. Granted, they absolutely turned up in this game. They played incredible.
Yeah.
But that worries me for what's to come when they play the bigger teams. Real Madrid will always be very good this season against the smaller teams that let them play their football. But once a team starts bringing it to them, starts pressing a little bit higher, starts getting a little bit more chances, that's when it starts getting worrying for me. That's when I start getting worried for Dean Huijsen, for that back line, who looked absolutely woeful in that game.
Oh, man.
They didn't want to jump on crosses. They didn't want to commit on challenges. Dean Huijsen, it's the same thing for him. When he's in a system that plays good football, he's incredible. In the Spanish national team, you have Pedri, Fabian Ruiz, Rodri in front of you. You pass the ball to them, they'll find solutions. Spain will always keep possession, so it's good on that front. But as soon as you're put in a more difficult situation, I'm scared for Huijsen. I'm scared that his calmness and his nonchalance will cost him in the long run against the better teams.
I think you're being too harsh there, man.
I'm seeing games against Atletico Madrid in the Club World Cup quarterfinals. I forget who it was against, but against Dortmund. In the Club World Cup quarterfinals against Dortmund, silly red card in the last minute of the game. Who do you get sent off against a couple days ago?
It was... Let me confirm.
Anyways, it was a long ball to that play. I think it was against Sociedad. It was a long ball to Oyarzabal, and he silly pull on the player's shirt. Last man, you're off. It's those silly mistakes that you shouldn't be making at that level.
Yeah.
Agreed. As soon as you're in danger, you show frailties. Maybe I'm being a little too harsh, but for a Real Madrid center back, look at who's been playing center back these last couple years. You have competition. You need to step up. You need to be on that same level.
Yep.
And in these big games so far, when it's mattered most, he has not been there. I'm not criticizing his on-the-ball ability, his build-up ability. I'm not criticizing any of that because it's so good.
Yeah.
When Real Madrid will play smaller teams, Dean Huijsen will look incredible. Let me stress that point one more time. When Real Madrid play smaller teams, play worse teams than them, Dean Huijsen will look incredible. And Real Madrid will too. But it's when they play the tougher teams, when they get pressed a little higher, when the teams bring it to them a little more, that's when I'm scared.
Oh, he has been, I think by and large, he's been really good for Real Madrid this season.
Because what?
Because of the smaller teams. Because he's been playing smaller teams. But is that just because of the smaller teams, or he's just a really good center back that is eventually...
He is a good center back.
That is eventually going to make it work against the big teams as well.
He is a good center back. But you have to look at the hardware. You have to look at the concrete evidence that you have so far. And it's that in the biggest games, he has not been there.
Yeah. On the Sorloth goal, he definitely could have done better there.
He definitely could have done better. Carreras, too. Oh, my God. Don't even get me started on Carreras.
You know what? He's been unreal, though.
He's been unreal this season. Yes. But I think this derby, he was not prepared for. I think it wouldn't have been a crime to start Fran Garcia over Carreras. This is like Carreras.
The first adversity that this team has to face.
Yeah.
It's the first adversity.
Absolutely elite. Yeah. So far,
but that's in the problem. Liga.
We got to see how they bounce back.
But that's the problem. Their first adversity moment, they crumble under pressure. Yeah. What's going to happen when they're going to have to play Liverpool in the group in the Champions League? What's going to happen when they're going to be in the quarterfinals of the Champions League and they're going to have to play two legs against a great team?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, dude. You're absolutely right. I think I'm excited to kind of see how their season goes on because those questions do exist. But I think so far, you still cannot deny how good Real Madrid have been so far this season.
And now they lost the lead of La Liga.
True.
I'm finding it very difficult to see when they're going to gain that back. I don't know. I'm not sure if they're going to win the El Clasico in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough.
It's going to be tough for them.
It's going to be tough.
October 22nd, they play Juve. What's going to happen in that game?
See, he loves the score predictions.
Yeah.
He's trying to pull out a score.
I'm going to say...
You say Juve win, Real Madrid win, or draw?
It's going to be Real Madrid win.
Okay.
3-1.
3-1.
3-1. Juve's not on that level yet.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, Atleti hasn't been on that level.
You think so?
Atleti's been horrible so far this year.
You guys put four past Dortmund in a thriller.
God. That was kind of luck, I'm not going to lie.
I mean,
I don't know who the defender...
Anton.
Was that who it was?
It's Anton. Yeah,
he just sent a beautiful... pass right to, I think it was Kalou.
Oh, no. What do you... on Juve.
No, Dortmund.
Oh, Dortmund.
A Dortmund player. Sent a great pass to Kalou, who, right from, I don't know how you make that bad of a mistake with that little time left, but we got bailed out that game. There's nothing more than a bailout. We did not play good at all. But, we play Real in a couple...
Couple weeks, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, a few 20 weeks.
Seconds.
3 weeks.
20 seconds.
So, it's going to be a test for us.
Just one more thing. What were you going to say? Sorry.
No, go ahead.
One more thing on Real Madrid. I think this loss is also on Xavi. Xavi. No, we were talking about Xavi earlier, and he's still in my mind. No, I think this loss is also on Xavi Alonso. I think you look at your midfield that's operating in this game. You have Valverde, Bellingham, Arda Güler. Who's performing the best in this game? It's Arda Güler. And who's performing bad in this game? Because they were... It's Bellingham and it's Valverde. Bellingham, because he just came back from an injury, I can understand that. But Valverde, if we're being honest and if we're being critical for the Real Madrid standards that are supposed to be elite, top of the best of the best, top class, he has not been good so far this season. He needs to step it up. So the fact that you sub off Arda Güler to bring on Camavinga instead of one of Valverde or Bellingham, I don't like that in-game management. I think he could have done better on that front.
Interesting. All right.
Mbappe Ballon d'Or.
Yes, I this is not
a goal here.
This is not mentioning how good Mbappe has been.
Great goal by Arda Güler.
Yeah.
Great goal by Arda Güler.
My boy.
Your boy. You're still on that, eh?
Let's move over to Barcelona now.
Mm-hmm.
Because now all of a sudden we kind of haven't been the shine has been on how good Real Madrid is looking so far this season, but Barcelona, despite Lamine being injured the past couple of weeks, have still been putting wins together, and now after Madrid's slip up, they are top of La Liga. Lamine Yamal is back. He looks terrifying.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And now, big questions as to who's going to win La Liga this season.
Yeah. I mean, look, let me paint you the picture. This is how good Lamine Yamal is, okay? He's been injured for about 2 weeks now, whatever his injury was. Two, 3 weeks. He's been injured for two, 3 weeks.
Whatever his injury was.
Whatever his injury was, okay? Comes back on the pitch. First of all, presents his Copa trophy casually, right, to the Barca fans.
Yep.
Comes back on the pitch. First touch of the ball. Tests the defender, you know, testing the waters, right? Seeing how things go. Passes back to Koundé. Second touch of the ball. Drives past the defender. Cross into, perfect cross into Lewandowski. Assist. This is like a minute into his cameo, right? Third touch of the ball. The third time he's on the ball. Elastico nutmeg into a chance. Like, what are we doing? Like, this is not fair. It's not fair. For being a left back in La Liga might be the toughest job in the world right now.
Yeah.
This is not fair. I think what makes him so good is the fact that he makes himself the predator right away when he steps on the pitch.
Yeah.
I could tell the Sociedad left back wanted to make himself big, wanted to show that I'm the big dog here. Like, you're not going to get past me, right? But in an instant, that faded away because Lamine Yamal made himself the predator. He made the left back know that he was going to be the guy to toy with him.
Is Lamine Yamal the best teenager of all time?
I think so at this point, yeah.
I think this is the first time that a teenager has been the best player in the world since R9 for Inter.
Neymar, too. Oh, the best player in the world.
Best player in the world.
Oh, yes.
So he's the best player in the world?
I think he's the best player in the world. Yeah. I agree with that. I don't think anyone would disagree with that.
Yeah.
No, it's insane.
I don't like Barca fans, so... My opinions on Barca are a little...
just because they're fans?
Yeah. I really don't like Barca fans. He hates Barca fans, too. I think Barca fans hate Madrid more than they like Barca.
That's a great point. But take that out of... Look at it from a critical standpoint.
Oh, from like just... Oh,
just technical. Appreciate, man.
Yeah, no. Appreciate. You got to appreciate.
You have to appreciate.
Talent like that, but...
It just...
I think Mbappe is like up there with him still.
Yes.
Mbappe, oh, my God.
Of course. It just... Football seems so easy for Lamine. It just seems easy. And the fact that he's only 18 years old.
Wild.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
It's.
Imagine when he's like 23.
24. Yeah, it's going to be disgusting.
God. But genuinely, like, best teenagers of all time. You're thinking R9. Mm-hmm. You're thinking Neymar, maybe. How old is Neymar when he went to Barca?
I don't know.
Because, I don't know, for Santos, he was one of the best players in the world still. But it was like, you know, it was for Santos. Yeah, it's like, you know, what
he was 21 years old when he joined Barcelona.
Yeah, so
not a real teenager.
But then it's Lamine Yamal, and then I'm not sure how old Messi was when he was really starting to put
Michael
together.
Michael Owen up there in the teenager.
Oh, room. That's a good one actually. Yeah. Michael Owen's definitely up there for Liverpool. Definitely. Who else would be there? Bellingham as a teenager was.
He was good, but not
Camarda.
It's just
Camarda.
Scored a last minute.
Camarda. Are we serious?
No,
Nico Paz, guys.
He just terrorized football.
He's a great player. Nico Paz is a great player, he's not a.
I know.
I'm not on that level.
Well, no, he just terrorized football in a season. In 1 year, it's almost unanimously known that he's the best player in the world.
That's wild.
And he's 18 years old.
It's just ridiculous.
His image is insane, too.
His image?
Like his image. His social presence, I mean.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were saying like the way he looks.
No. Like his aura?
I mean, his social presence. It's crazy for a guy of that.
Like, as a celebrity.
As a celebority.
Yeah.
Everyone knows who he is.
I think everybody knows at this point who Lamine Yamal is.
Every sport, or 100%. Like majority of like other like athletes definitely know who he is. Too,
yes.
Yeah.
And he probably doesn't know anybody else besides the top footy
players.
That's it.
I love watching overtime videos where they're arguing whether LeBron James is more famous than Messi. I'm just like, oh, you guys have no fucking idea.
They have no clue.
You have no idea.
W Americans.
Not us.
Not us.
We're educated.
Yeah, we're not even Americans. So.
On all sports. Exactly. Yeah, true. We're also not.
There's a big difference.
There's a huge difference. Let's not get into that, though. Yeah.
Let's talk about Milan-Napoli.
That's a great performance. And then that's kind of like a... Like a big statement from Milan saying, like, okay, we're here. We're back. Yeah. You guys have to watch out for us now because they don't got to focus on nothing else besides the league this year.
Yep.
They have nothing else they got to worry about besides winning the league. And you know who wins a lot? Allegri.
Yeah. We've been saying it at the beginning of the season, too. Yeah. If there's one manager that can save Milan, quote-unquote, save Milan. It's Allegri because he will give you those 1-0, those 2-0 performances. He knows how to play those games.
That's literally his game. I think he's mastered the Serie A better than any other manager. Mm-hmm.
Conte.
Conte. Conte is up there, but Allegri knows. Like, Allegri ball is so good for Serie A. Like, if they play in Europe, like, they'd probably get like smashed.
Yeah.
Like, they'd get destroyed in Europe the way they've been playing this year. But just like against the best, probably the best all around squad in Serie A, which is Napoli.
Absolutely. There's a debate with that.
Yeah, there's not a debate. But the best all around squad, you get a red card.
Mm-hmm. 60th minute?
57th minute.
Okay.
De Bruyne scores a penalty. Mm-hmm. So you're up one, and the best squad has 30 minutes up a man. I think any other team, Napoli puts two goals on.
I agree.
Yeah.
That Milan team shut like just completely shut the door. It was, I don't even know. They just defended damn near perfectly. Allegri ball. That's at the end of the day. It's Allegri ball.
I'm just thinking of all the haram ball edits I've seen.
Oh no, it is. Guy. It is the most. It might be the most haram ball out of any.
Yeah, no, he's a leader.
Yeah, he might be the leader. He might leader. Be like, I see all those edits. It's like top five haram ball managers, yeah. And it's like you got Simeone, yeah, and then you got Arteta, and then you have like none of them compare to Allegri, yeah. Like not at all.
Getafe manager's up there. Have you seen? Oh, have you seen? Oh my god, yeah. The Getafe manager
is close.
Up there.
He's close, but Allegri's been doing this for God knows how long. Yeah, he's been true. Doing
he's
this.
He's been on the
this
way.
Guy's been. He's the OG. He's the founder of this haram ball. He's the founder. He's like. And guess what? It's working, and I would not be surprised if Milan win the league this year.
Win the league.
Win the league. I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't think it'd come as a surprise. A surprise it would, but you wouldn't be overly shocked.
But heading into the season, you really did you think they had even a sliver
prior to their to his appointment? No.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But like no one thought it was always just. Everyone thought Napoli was just going to run the league again, which they definitely could.
Yeah.
This is only like, what are they, 4-0-1 also?
Hey, you should put some respect on your team, man.
I know. We're, put some you know what? Your team.
From, I've been saying this since the start. I think you guys are sneaky Serie A contenders.
From.
You got to clarify now.
I have to clarify because Roma. He has a Roma kid on. I'm talking about Juventus. Yeah.
Coming from the difference that Juve has between this year and last year, it's actually pretty big. It's like we're scoring goals. We last year we struggled to score, like struggled badly to score. This year it's looking like we're struggling to defend a little bit, especially that Dortmund game. 4 goals is very bad, very, very bad.
Bremer's back, though.
Bremer is back, thankfully.
Yeah.
I don't got to see. Well, Lloyd Kelly is savior, apparently, for Juve. So, but we don't got to see him on the pitch for much longer.
Mm-hmm. But what's the difference between you guys, a Juve, and a Milan this season, where you don't think you would finish above a Milan? Is it just Allegri?
It might. It's yeah. I guess it is Allegri ball because the way Juve's playing now does not really like work in Serie A. Like we're attacking a lot. We're pressing much more, and we're giving up a lot of counter opportunities, which all these Serie A teams love to defend and like love when teams attack and then make a mistake and then counter. They get you on the like Pulisic.
Yeah.
Like.
And we're gonna have to talk about
yeah we're gonna have it. To talk about that but but Juve's playing a completely different style of football than we've played in the past.
So it's just purely years. Off of the proven football that Milan and Allegri are playing that you think that Milan are will gonna succeed finish ahead of Juve.
Or, I don't think they will. I think they could.
Yeah.
I definitely think they could. But Juve, like Yildiz, has been the best player in Serie A this season so far. That he is, that's a game changer right there.
Nico Paz is up there.
No, it's a game. Yildiz is a game changer. I really hope that he's going to stay with us for the whole season. I'm already hearing rumors of, like, I think it's Arsenal. I'm hearing Arsenal transfer rumors.
That'd be a good signing for Arsenal.
Arsenal transfer rumor.
You want to talk about a killer. You want to talk about someone flipping a game on his head. That's him.
Mm. Oh, that's what he does.
Yeah, that's what he
literally
does.
Damn. He is saving this Juve squad. I want to say I thought Jonathan David was going to come into the squad, be really good. I think he has 3 starts.
Something like that. He's not a consistent starter, though.
He's not a consistent starter.
But you also have to give credit to Vlahovic, who started.
Yeah, there's a good reason why.
The comeback he's made from last season has been insane.
Yeah.
Just once Vlahovic got subbed on in that Dortmund game, it was like he was the game changer that game, actually.
Yeah,
it was I think Yildiz fed him his first goal.
He scored two goals in that game. He scored the winner, too.
So I think Yildiz made a great pass.
The game tying goal.
Great finish. Mm-hmm. And then he finished that volley, like semi volley.
Mm-hmm.
That was really nice. And, you know, no, he scored the 4-3 goal, actually. He's playing like the player that we bought for $75 million.
Yeah.
Back, two seasons?
And worrying for Jonathan David is that I don't even think he's second in that pecking order. I think he's third. You have Lois Openda ahead of him, who started last game.
Yeah, he did start last game. And he also, Jonathan David started against Dortmund. But then he got subbed off for Vlahovic. And then Openda also came on, I think.
Like, he needs to prove himself. Jonathan Absolutely, Davis.
He needs to. He needs
it's
to
not even that he's been bad.
But he scored in his first, I think, two games.
Yeah.
For
yes.
He started the season off really well.
He scored in his first two games. But then Vlahovic goes and does that, and then it's kind of like, okay, well, who do you play here? Mm-hmm. Do you play the guy who's changed the game for us or like has been a game changer for us so far this season? Or the guy who scored a couple goals?
Yeah, you go you go for the former for sure.
So you know what? I think we have a solid squad all around this year. If Yildiz continues to play like this, I wouldn't be shocked if we are in like title contention.
Good.
And I really want to see us like succeed for us in Champions League is make it to the round of 16.
Yeah.
This year. As crazy as that sounds, because we used to be.
I think your success in the league is going to come at a cost in the Champions League. I think you guys are going to fall short in the Champions League, maybe round of 32 like last year. And then you'll take over the league. I think.
You know what? I wouldn't mind that.
I think you guys would take that for sure. How long has it been now since you guys haven't won the league? 5 years? That's not normal for a club like Juve.
Yeah.
That's not normal.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. No, that's why I won't wear Juve kit on the pod until we win the league again.
Okay. Wow.
Because it is not normal. What do we win in the 2010s? What, 8 of the 10 years?
Yeah. It was a dictatorship at some point.
It was.
But to be fair, we did have the best Italian players in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And in Italy, we're really good back then.
Exactly. Right now, oh, God. It's like, I was talking this with my buddies the other day. It's like, a lot of Italian teams' best players aren't Italian anymore.
That's true.
And it's because of how bad Italian football is right now. Like, our national team is...
The Israel game, dude.
Oh, my
when
God.
When was the last time Italy produced a world-class striker?
Totti.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you think of great Serie A strikers since then, you're thinking of like...
Immobile.
No. He was good in Serie A, but for Italy, exactly. He was like
they're only good in Serie A.
Balotelli? Nowadays.
Balotelli, yeah.
Yeah, but like him and Totti.
Moments,
kinda,
yeah.
Yeah, well, he had his short stint that was unreal, don't get me wrong. That Euro 2012 was unbelievable. But
true.
But after that, it's just, I think, from the 2014...
2014 onwards, like you don't really have a guy.
He fell off so quickly, though.
Yeah. And you don't really have a guy.
No, not at all. You don't call Chiesa a striker, even though he could play striker. But our best attacker since, like, I guess that 2012 Balotelli was 2020 Chiesa.
Yeah. And that's a problem.
And that is a problem. That's a big problem.
I like what Moise Keane is doing right now.
You know what? He saved us against Israel.
Yeah.
And Retegi actually saved us, too. But that guy's god-awful. I don't even want... That guy starts another game for Italy.
Yeah, I mean, you know where his mind is at. It's just money.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He is. He knew he had one, like, fluke year where he's the top goal scorer by a landslide, and he took his money. Yeah. Took his money and ran. And
good for him.
Yeah, why not? Make your money, but, God, Italy needs a striker badly. Mm-hmm. I hope Keane, like, fills that spot because he's still young, too. He's not like...
I remember him scoring against Barca, hitting the... Oh, I know y'all remember.
His emo. Oh, he loves his emo. It's his cellies, but yeah, Italy is. And you know what? Our midfield is actually good still. Barella, Tonali.
Mm-hmm. You have a good midfield. Whoever, okay, defense.
Yeah, defense. God, Di Lorenzo has to like go to a retirement home or something. He needs to get out of our squad badly. We need to play. I don't know how we're letting Calafiori sit on the bench, and we're letting Di Lorenzo play like center back.
Well, I think slowly he'll be integrated back into.
He better be because he was our best, might have been our best player in
at the Euros.
At the Euros,
yeah, I agree.
So that's why Arsenal bought him just straight off that Euro.
Talk to me about Christian Pulisic, dude.
You want to start?
You want me to start?
You want to start?
I know a couple minutes ago we were saying we're not Americans.
The LeBron James of soccer
is back.
The LeBron James of soccer is back. You know what he? He could get... No, okay.
Say it.
No.
He could get that crown. Like, he could, like... I don't mind Americans saying, like, calling him that. Because of how good and, like... I think he's very underappreciated.
I think so, too.
And
I think you look at the stints where Milan needed someone to step up. Christian Pulisic has consistently been that guy.
Always there.
And he is that guy right now. When Leao isn't playing, who steps up for you? Who's your best player right now? It's Christian Pulisic. His assists for Salamakers.
Oh, Bale-esque, disgusting. I can say.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
And then he scores a goal. He ends up scoring the winner. He scores a goal that ends up being the winner.
Yeah. Very well-taken goal, but the assist was just beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at his entire career, and you try to pinpoint what his prime was. Would you say it's Chelsea? It's Chelsea during the COVID years when he was firing off all cylinders.
Against Crystal Palace, yeah.
I think that's his prime, but I think now he's getting close.
I think
to that
his prime is now.
I think he's getting very close to that now.
Prime rebirth right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the form he's in right now, he's got to be a top three winger right now.
In the city,
yeah. Because you have Yildiz, you know. I think Yildiz.
You consider him a winger?
He's like an attacking mid winger, but he plays
off the left. Yeah.
Lamb.
Lamb.
Yeah, he's a nice lamb, but but like winger, like who's a better like Leao? I would say.
Yeah, Leao when he's healthy, fit, when everything goes well for Leao, exactly. Yes, but
on a regular day to day basis, he might be the best.
I don't hate that. You know my take on Leao. You know, I think he's a great player, but in the big games, he's not that guy.
I'm a big fan of Leao, guys.
That's your boy.
But I only see Leao when he's playing.
And he plays insane.
When
he doesn't put a foot wrong.
When he plays, though, when he's in form, when everything's going right,
it's insane.
One of the best players to watch.
Yes.
One of the most entertaining players to watch.
For sure.
But when it's not going right and he's not in form and he's like not at his best.
Who's the guy that steps up?
And saves them. Yeah, seriously. Last year, he saved their asses so many times, Pulisic.
Yeah.
Because Leao had a really, really down year last year.
Yeah, and
Pulisic playing for Portugal, I don't know what it was last year.
He had a great year last year, and he's only building on top of that this year.
Exactly,
seems to be one of the best wingers in the league.
Yeah,
almost. You have to give credit where credit's due.
The thing with City, a lot of teams don't really play with wingers. City has more of a league where you play with like midfielders or like wing backs, or yeah, exactly,
or lambs,
or lambs or Rams. So it's like
game is so gone. It's so gone.
FIFA lingo in 2020.
If viewers would understand what I mean by lamb, for everyone knows what a lamb is.
Everyone knows what a lamb is.
But so it's kind of hard to compare. But he's at the top of his game right now.
Has he been one of the? You said Yildiz was the best player in Serie A.
Yep.
Do you think Pulisic makes a conversation for best player in Serie A right now?
Ooh,
I think. He's up there. I think McTominay definitely makes it.
I think Yildiz is definitely up there as well.
I think Yildiz is the best player. Like Yildiz this season, to start the season.
Right now. To start the season.
The start of the season. The first 6 weeks or however long we're into the season, I think Yildiz has been the best.
Yeah.
That guy, whenever he has the ball, there's like, he's creating an opportunity almost every single time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's kind of like, watching him play, it's kind of, it brings back like hope to like Juve fans after how bad we've been for the past like 5 years, like 6 years, I guess.
Yeah.
How bad we've been. It's like this guy gives us hope that, you know, he could like turn the season around and turn the whole like club around, which might not last long because the Prem team's already in Juve's ear already like, okay, 85 mil euro, 90 mil euro.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
I think if Juve gets a like clear 90 mil euro offer from one of the big Prem teams.
He's worth more than that.
No, but Juve's notoriously known for selling players lower than can get. So, you know what? I hope it doesn't happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if it happens. And if it does happen, there goes Juve's season. And there probably goes Juve's next 3 years also. So, that's that.
I mean, you look at everybody that you've sold over the years. You have Sule, you have Huijsen, who are both...
Dean Huijsen, he didn't even get an opportunity to play for Juve. Yeah. That guy was boycotted within the club.
Who else did you guys
sell? You guys sold a couple more players, too.
Sule, we first sent off Sule to Frosinone on loan. He, honestly, like...
Did he ball out or anything?
He pretty, like, for that team, like, that squad is terrible, don't get me wrong. Frosinone is garbage, but he, like, had some, like, good moments showing, like, signs of hope. We don't even give him a chance to come back and play here. Just sell him right after that summer.
And now he's balling.
Balling for Roma. Yeah. Who else do we sell? Like
Huijsen. I think there's someone else.
Sule.
Yeah, I forget.
There's one one big one we're missing, but you know, Paolo leaving Juve.
All in all, the business hasn't been very good.
Very, very bad.
The youngster management hasn't been
very bad. I'm just I think everything when like the office part of Juve has just been terrible with all these like rumors of scandals, like what the Di Maria stuff where we lost 9 points and we didn't make Champions League that year because of that. Like, they just got to get it together.
Agreed.
So that's the stand on Juve. That's where we're at.
Love the Serie A talk in here sometimes.
Italy talk, Serie A talk, Juve talk.
It's great.
I like it, man.
You should have it more often.
We should, yeah, because that's like our weak point on this podcast.
Let me know. I'm here.
You're there?
I'm beautiful. Here. I just have class on, you know when I have class.
Talk to me a little bit about PSG's game at the weekend, and so, and then we'll go into the roundup.
The biggest thing that I didn't like in this game was the fact that almost everyone came off injured. I'm just worried because now, okay, great win, 2-0. Zabarnia's first goal, Beraldo goal. It's Ligue 1, like, yes, we are a little bit under pressure now that we lost against Marseille. But we're still first. It's Auxerre.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine, right? 2-0 win. Nothing to complain about. But, man, these injuries, man. PSG have a wave of injuries right now. PSG. Barcelona might smash PSG on Wednesday. I'm genuinely scared of that.
You think so?
I'm looking at all the injuries that PSG have. You have Kvaratskhelia, who's doubtful. You have Dembele gone. You have Doué gone. Vitinha came off at the 30th minute against Auxerre. João Neves is coming back from an injury. Fabian Ruiz is coming back from an injury. That's six first-team players that you're supposed to have that won't be, that either won't be at full fitness or that won't start at all. And I'm looking at the Barcelona team, at the team Barcelona have right now, and a player that is supposed to be coming back to full fitness in Lamine Yamal, terrorizing Real Sociedad in this first minute coming on, I'm genuinely worried. I think they can score four past PSG.
No.
I think it's possible.
Four?
If everybody's fit, it's going to be a good game because the midfield battle will be incredible. Vitinha, João Neves, Fabian Ruiz, and then Pedri, De Jong, and maybe Dani Olmo. That's going to be great. That's going to be where the game is won and lost. But if they just come back from injury, I don't see how they'll be fully fit to perform against a Barcelona team. I think our defense will hold up somewhat, right? Nuno Mendes is always solid. I'm looking forward to that battle against Lamine Yamal. We saw it against Portugal.
Yeah, what happened last time?
Yeah, we saw it against Portugal. Mm-hmm. And
in his pocket.
He got absolutely clamped.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different now. It's going to be different. You won't have that backup. It'll be a serious one-on-one. So I'm a little bit worried. Yeah, I'm a little bit worried. But hopefully the lads can pull through. We're going to have the mighty front three of Bakura, Seni Mayulu, and Kang and Lee up top.
Is Colo Muani? No, he's with Spurs, right?
Yeah, I'm scared for you, dude.
Yeah, I'm scared for me, too.
Naps, going back to Juve, Kulusevski was another big outgoing that you had.
Yep. Yes,
that's Tottenham.
Kuti Romero. I forgot you guys even had Christian Romero on your team. Sold to Atalanta.
Atalanta, yeah.
And then Bentancur as well. Three Tottenham players. Interesting. Yeah. Those are big outgoings.
Poor management right there.
Yeah, very poor management.
Poor.
Anyways.
Speaking of Spurs, man, they...
Yes.
Is the game fully gone?
With Paulinho
taking his shirt off.
The game is fully gone.
It's 1-0 for Wolves.
Yeah.
In the 93rd.
Who have not got a point in the Premier League so far this season.
Yeah, Wolves haven't,
won a single game. Yeah. Looked awful throughout the entire season so far. They're up against Spurs in London at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. 93rd minute, 94th minute, Paulinho scores an equalizer. Takes the shirt off.
What are we doing?
Takes the shirt off.
That's so embarrassing.
Yeah, the game is so gone.
Maybe it's all his boys, because I know a lot of Portuguese players all play on Wolves.
Not anymore, Loki.
Really? They're all gone?
No, it's not.
It's Jean Arias. Jean Arias put up a good performance.
He did.
But, like, I don't know. Taking up for... That's like... I don't know. That's like Vlahovic or...
It's like Lamine Yamal taking his shirt off against Oviedo.
Yeah.
After scraping a draw.
Yeah.
That's just embarrassing, man. God. Do they have fight? This Tottenham team really has fight.
No, they don't have fight. God.
It's a winning mentality, right? It's a win. All right. Speaking of wins, City smash Burnley as well. 5-1. Haaland grabbing two right at the end.
Saved my triple captain.
He is now the highest scoring Norwegian in Premier League history, overtaking.
Is that Ollie?
Yeah.
W ball knowledge.
I didn't have it.
Yeah,
I didn't have it.
Got out ball knowledge.
And I just got out ball knowledge. It just didn't come to my head.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. That's FIFA knowledge.
Jaden Anthony looking really good for Burnley. We have not given him enough love so far this season.
He's had a sneaky good start to the season. Him and Colin.
He has, man. Inter 1-2-0 against Cagliari. We lightly touched on it. PSG 1-2-0 against
Auxerre.
I can never say that. And then Kane and Bayern looked freaking insane. They won, 4-1 against Werder Bremen at the weekend. Kane now has 100 goals for Bayern.
It's pissing me off.
Insane.
100 goals for Bayern.
It's pissing me off.
This is what, his third year there?
Yeah.
Fuck.
101 games played, 100 goals.
You know what? Like I think he's one of the most underrated players.
Well, yeah.
Ever.
In history? Definitely.
Ever.
Yeah. I agree. He is averaging a 9.3 rating so far this season.
Yeah.
About 2 goals a game. Even Jonathan Toth scored a little back heel in this game. Pretty lovely to see. Bayern, like Vincent Kompany, this guy 2 years ago was the Burnley manager coming 20th in the Premier League. And now, or not 20th in the Premier League, but relegated from the Premier League. And now Bayern look like one of the best teams in the world. Yeah. Is that Farmers League tax? I don't know.
When you score, when you have 13 goal contributions in 5 games.
Yeah.
We might be on squad battle, easy difficulty.
Yeah. And they just beat Chelsea in the Champions League as well.
Yeah.
And they beat Leipzig, what was it, like 6-1?
Yeah, on the opening like day. Yeah.
On the opening day.
It was bad. It was
like
bad.
This team looks good. You cannot take it away from them.
Kane has looked spectacular though. Like he's still one of the best strikers in the world. I still think so. Same. We were talking about complete players and Julian Alvarez. I think Kane is definitely up there. Yeah. For sure. Actually, I wanted to ask you boys a question. I wish Blake was here for this, but
go on.
I've been brewing this question in my head for a long time, and I wanted to bring it up on the pod for a long, long time.
Oh.
What is the one position in football where the best player in that position has the biggest gap to the second best player in that position? Right now.
I don't get it.
You don't get it?
No, I get it.
You get it?
Yeah.
Can you explain it a little bit better? Because I don't know if I formulated it correctly.
So just say Lamine Yamal is right wing, and he's the best right winger.
In the world.
How much better is he than the second best right winger?
Ah.
It's like what position do you think like the gap is between the one and two at their position?
Did the formulation of the question make sense?
Yeah, I understand.
Like it's a good hook. Like it'll... Yeah. It's hard to explain.
So second best right winger is Salah, you'd say?
No, but like... What he's saying is, like, what position has that biggest gap?
Yeah, so I probably think...
You think it's right winger? I have my answer.
I know it too. Like, low-key, I gotta...
I know what it is. And it's for me, it's very clear.
I want to say...
I want your answer first.
I'm trying to think, dude. You're putting me on the spot here.
Time's ticking.
I don't know, dude. Bro, give me your
answer. Is it right winger? You can say right winger. It's not a crime.
I think can I say mine?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think mine's right back.
Right back.
Right back or left back?
Mine is left back.
I think Nuno Mendes is way better than the next best left back, or Hakimi is way better than the next best.
I think it's right closer back. With Hakimi Koundé than it is with Nuno Mendes and Balde, Cucurella. The fact that there's even a debate between who's the best who's the second best left back in the world.
Good point. Yeah.
Makes me certain that Nuno Mendes has a big gap between
the What about left wingers?
There's a lack of left wingers right now.
There's Vinny and then who else?
No Vinny.
So even if
Yildiz, Lamb.
Even if left wingers in general aren't the best right now, the gap between Vinny and second best, like I don't even know what that
is. You think it's still Vinny?
Kvaratskhelia?
Yeah, far, yeah. But he plays right wing too, so that's the thing. Like they always interchange.
Yeah, exactly. Holland? No, then Kane is there.
You can also say right winger with Lamine Yamal. I'm sorry.
You definitely can.
But I mean, Salah is Salah. He just came fourth in the Ballon d'Or. Gotta give some respect there. Could you say Pedri?
Oh, is
Pedri at center mid?
Rafinha's left wing.
No, but Vitinha is also close though.
Isn't Rafinha left wing?
I don't know how close.
Rafinha is a left winger. Yeah. Could be Rafinha for left wing.
Oh yeah. Oh, you're right. You're right.
What about center backs?
It's close center there back? Too.
Yeah.
Goalkeeper could be one. Donnarumma, who's the second best goalkeeper in the world?
Nah.
Juan Garcia, like, are we done that?
Allison.
No,
but.
Allison, bro, come on.
I think there's a big gap between between Donnarumma and Allison.
You don't think there's a big gap there?
Off of last season.
I don't know. I think just past. Unanimously like,
the best goalkeeper
past, last like, season. nine months, Donnarumma. Like, 12 months ago, Donnarumma was not the best goalkeeper in the world.
Of the season that he had, I think it's fair to say.
Sure, off the season that you had.
I think it's fair to say you ask everybody. All the 100 journalists that voted for the Ballon d'Or, who the best goalkeeper is in the world, off of last season, they say Donnarumma. And I think there's a substantial gap there, too.
I don't know, man. You asked the one motherfucker that said Scott McTominay should wear the Ballon d'Or, and he's coming up with something weird.
Yeah, he's Scottish. So obviously
he's saying, who's a Scottish keeper? I can't even think.
You know what started that season for Donnarumma? That Euro he had was unbelievable.
Yeah.
That Euro just... Yeah. He got his confidence back. He got to play in that Italian kit.
So what are you saying?
Yeah, I'll go left back.
Left back?
Yeah, I'll go
good,
left back.
Good. I think it's good. Good.
But then right wing. No, I won't say right wing.
That's exactly where my mind went first was left back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then I'm like Hakimi.
The things that Nuno Mendes does on the ball is it's not normal. I haven't seen that from a left back in a very long time.
Fairs.
Yeah.
Fairs.
Do you think he could be one of the best to ever play left back?
He's very young, maybe. He already has a Champions League on his belt.
Guys, Marcelo just got added as an
icon. Got a Nations League, too.
FIFA.
Really?
He just got an icon this year.
So unk, bro.
And
so
I didn't pack
him. Bro,
packed,
it's like
oh, all Tony Cruz is the icon I packed.
Really? Yeah, Tony Cruz, Ibra, and Marcelo.
Yep.
Yeah.
The people we grew up on, bro.
Yeah.
Chiellini.
Fucking icon. Yeah, Chiellini is now an icon. Chiellini, bro. Icon. God. Fucking unk. That's so crazy. Unk.
There's some other one. Like Alex Morgan.
Is Iniesta an icon?
Yes.
Yeah, he just got it this year, too.
Yeah.
Iniesta.
Xavi was already
there. Xavi Alonso.
That's crazy.
All icons.
That's crazy.
It's like when we were like thinking of icons, like when FIFA was like.
Like these are the players we grew up watching.
Exactly. Our prime game, like icons to us were like.
Is Dani Alves an icon yet?
No.
Oh, that's coming.
I think that's because of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think that's coming.
Who else? There's some other new icons this year too. Totti.
Totti.
Totti. Oh,
it's a good icon.
Man.
I was scared he's gonna get a hero card, but he is an icon.
Yeah, Totti.
Last game I want to talk about with you lads is your experience of the TFC game.
Oh, yeah.
So Messi was in Toronto.
And you didn't go.
Messi absolutely took fumbled. Over Let's the just TFC say like games. That. No, I want to see my girlfriend. Fair There's enough. Nothing fucking
Fair
wrong
enough.
With that.
Fair enough.
And then also I didn't think Messi would play, so I didn't think it'd be worth it.
You got to do your research.
Whatever, man. You should have done some networking over there for us.
Dude, there was too many people over there.
No.
Yeah. I was tracking the flights, make sure Messi's on that one.
Mm. Yeah. Full packed stadium.
Oh, fully packed, yeah. And full of Messi jerseys.
When's the last time TFC had a fully like packed stadium?
Probably
from
last time
TFC
Messi
fans.
Was there.
From like
wh- from TFC fans, you're.
We're looking at what 2021, 2019.
Yeah. 2019.
Yeah, that's bad. No, it was great though. It was great.
Did he play good?
He played good. He had a good game. 8.0 on Fault Mob. 10.0 in my eyes.
How much pink was there compared to red?
There was a lot, but there was also a lot of old, like Barcelona Messi kits, PSG Messi kits. I was wearing the Argentina one.
A lot of people wearing.
You were wearing an Argentina. Oh.
Yeah, Argentina Messi. What's wrong with that, man? Brother, respectfully, if you're going to give me an offer to go watch the best player in the world, the best player of all time that I've grew up watching, scoring 91 goals in La Liga, getting 8 Ballon d'Ors, however many, he has 8, right? Yeah, he has. I'm gonna accept the offer. I'm gonna wear a Messi kit. I was Messi, Messi.
How many like?
I was leading the chant.
Disgraceful.
He had a free kick on the edge of the box.
That's your missed? Local team.
Barely?
I have no affiliations with Toronto.
That's your local team.
I have no affiliations with Toronto.
No, what was I gonna say? There's probably a lot of like people wearing TFC jerseys that were also cheering for Messi.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of like the for Toronto sure. fans.
Like, I could have like low key been. And you can tell every time, Messi, but I'd still be wearing like I don't have a TFC jersey, but like my Canada kit.
Mm. You could tell every time he was on the ball too.
Oh, the whole crowd. Went
everybody
out,
goes right? crazy.
That's just the Messi.
It was a great experience. Man. Great experience.
That's like
no.
Suarez. I watched that too. Suarez. Jordi
Suarez.
Alba.
Jordi
Alba. Great assist.
Yeah.
Great assist.
How did Suarez play?
Oh, dude. I don't even know how many touches he got.
Started a fight.
He might have had like 4 touches fight, yeah. max.
How about Busquets?
Busquets is a good thing he's retiring in a couple months. Let's just say that.
You can't move anymore?
Oh, brother. He was struggling to get 30, off the pitch
that 30
after he got the
pace or 36 pace.
It's justified. Yeah. Okay.
Poor guy, man. That guy.
FPL roundup to end it off?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's
hear this. In the amount of football games that you've watched, where does this one rank, Anto?
I know exactly where you're taking this. Go fuck yourself. I've only went to 4 games. I don't care. Like you're happy that you went to 50 TFC games? That amounts to about 1 Champions League game. I'm sorry, it does.
No, I watched a couple Portugal games.
I watched a couple Benfica games in the preseason.
Man United, Real Madrid. In Massachusetts.
Or
Michigan that 1 year.
Big up, lad.
100,000 people there.
Cool, dude. Sick.
Good game.
Sick.
Obviously, a bunch of TFC games, Canada games.
Good for you, dude.
Okay, World Cup.
It's not my fault every time I go to France. It's the off season or it's the break.
There's got to be some friendlies going on.
No, it's
go
the
watch
only time.
Your local. Go watch.
Both?
Go, yeah, go
They're
watch
They're in
them.
League 2, and it's the break there, too.
Yeah, and go watch some non-league.
I don't think there's a non-league. I think France is the only country that actually Italy does it too. That stop during Christmas break.
Yep.
That's fair.
It's very, very Catholic.
Yeah.
Very Catholic.
All right. Country. Let's do FEO roundup. I've been waiting for this one.
Are you
waiting for this one? Lads. Dan Danso is all the way back.
All the way back.
All the way back.
No, like all the way back at the bottom of the
table. Do you want to give the proper rundown?
So how are you defining all the way back? Are you saying he's all the way back like we hear, or he's all the way back at the bottom
of the
table?
I'm going to be third place.
You're going to be third place. Okay.
Yeah.
So can I join this mid-year?
Sorry?
Can I join this mid-year?
This is Midness FC right here.
This is what?
This is Midness FC, this table here, this league.
Oh, let's hear this.
So fourth place this week is the second place overall. Puffing on Zuby, Mr. Blake Talibas, with a whopping 68 points. Brought in Holland, captained him. He was talking to the Frim Ping Pong manager earlier in the week, saying that he would bring in Holland. And the Frim Ping Pong manager was kind of giving him tips. Yeah, do this for this, do this for this. And so he did listen, and he did captain Holland for 32 points. The rest of the team, however, all blanked, except for Gabriel and Semenyo. Tough week for him. 68 points, game week rank of 1,100,000.
Which is still good.
Which is still decent.
Average this week was 42. So we've all had a good week.
We've all had a good week for sure.
Holland. The Holland captain, yeah.
So that still puts him second of the league. 43 points behind first.
Damn.
Yeah, that's a substantial lead getting built right there. Change name. We need to find him.
Yes. It's actually like...
This is a finable offense.
Yeah.
So basically, Miles had a... had a very offensive name.
Yep.
On FPL.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Towards.
I'm not gonna say
something to do with a Russian leader.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So.
Not the worst.
But... Not the worst of all time. So they changed his name to change name. So he needs to change his name, and we've been telling him he needs to change his name.
But he hasn't done.
But he hasn't done it. So now we're looking at point deductions and fines.
Yeah.
Right. So 70 points for him this week. Gabriel in there. Senesi for 7. Semenyo for 7. Captain Holland. Nothing crazy. He's third in the league. Apparently going to get overtaken by number 4. Is that true? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Came second this week.
At the time of recording, you are still third in the game. You're still second in the game week. So I do have to go.
No. You do you first.
Fine. Just to give your spotlight.
Because you know how it's going to go.
Because I've done this so many times. I've done the last one mentioned so many times.
All right, lad.
That I will give you your spotlight. Frim Ping Pong Manager still towering over everybody on top of the world. Game week rank of 56,000. It's pretty good. Gabriel in there, Senesi, Semenyo, triple captain Holland for 48 points. The one asterisk this week is Igor Thiago on the bench. He should have known that he would have bagged 2 against one of the worst teams in the league. But still finishes first overall in the standings. 43-point gap between second. Everything is good. And Dan Danso, first this week. So what is it? You wildcarded last week?
All the way back.
Most
people are wildcarding game week 6 because of the fixture swing. So I wildcarded last week, which is a little risky because of the Arsenal-Man City game. It was risky. I initially didn't transfer out Salah to bring in Holland, so that I made those 2 switches this week. Brought in Palmer, had to make the move early. That backfired because Palmer's now injured. So going into this week, I was very depressed.
Mm.
But the reason that I wildcarded in game week 5 was because I wanted to use my triple captain on Holland. I knew Burnley was going to be a good fixture. He only had an assist leading up to like the 90th minute. I was like, oh, I don't know how this one went. And then he grabs 2 goals. Lovely stuff. Yeah,
that felt good too.
Lovely stuff.
That felt really good.
So that's 48 points from Holland alone.
Yeah.
And since Palmer is injured, Igor Thiago is going to come in for an extra 13 points. So right now, I'm on 85 points, but I'm about to be on 98 points. And I still have Eliman Ndiaye to play later today. Even if he blanks and grabs 2, I've cracked 100 this week.
I'm just going to have to correct you there, brother. That is wrong. If he gets 2 points, you are on 98 because you did take a minus 4. Sorry, you're on a 96 if he gets 2 points.
Oh, that's true.
So he needs 6 points at least to break 100.
Does that not apply to my thing already?
It doesn't.
Or it only applies afterwards?
It doesn't.
Okay.
So it'll be harder to crack 100.
No, you know what? I'd still be on 100 for the week. Like the point total would say 100.
That doesn't count as the first 100 pointer of the week.
It would say 100. It's just my total takes.
But it wouldn't count as the first 100 pointer of the
would
year.
Would it say 100?
It would say 100.
Okay, then it's 100.
No, it's not.
No, the minus 4.
I understand
gets taken
that you're in fourth
from
and you're trying
total.
To change up the rules
no,
here.
No. The minus 4 gets taken out from the total,
uh-huh.
But 100 points is 100 points. Okay. All my players accumulated points is 100 points.
Hey, whatever makes you happy, whatever makes you sleep better at night.
And you know what
we're top of the table.
You know what really
here?
Makes me happy is that by the end of today, I'm going to be ahead of Miles and I'm going to be third place and I'm going to rub that shit in his face. And I am not letting go of that. I'm coming for Blake next and I'm coming for the king.
That's not happening.
I'm coming for the king.
That's not happening.
Frim ping.
All right.
Frim ping pong. You like that?
Frim ping pong.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good name.
Thank you.
I like mine better personally.
Dam Danzo.
Dam Danzo.
Right. Mid name. Mid player. Mid name.
Do you have a picture for your team?
I don't.
I didn't think so. All right. It's all well and fun. I will be in like the top 50K of the game week.
What is the
this week.
Pretty good.
That's what is the insane. Like the forfeit?
We haven't thought of one yet.
What was the
probably
going to
be
year?
A rival. It's going to be Rivals rival kit. Blake came last year.
And had to wear a United kit.
So he had to wear a United kit for an episode.
Yeah, that probably hurt him.
And he had to glaze Arsenal in a clip with a United shirt on.
Yeah. That's rough. That was episode 100 too.
Yeah.
You know what? It's a fair game.
It's a fair game. I am not wearing a fucking suit.
I feel like Miles wouldn't do it, though.
Oh, you're right, because he didn't do it.
second year, he came fucking last, and he has not worn a kit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead, he's been offering to pay for Nando's.
Oh.
That's a little bit of a cop-out, though.
That's a little bit of a cop-out.
How about you wear the kit and pay for Nando's?
Yeah, he got out of that with some crude negotiating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. That's, hopefully he doesn't come last this year again, so.
No.
Yeah. Or are you guys gonna force him?
So
this year?
No, we're putting the shirt on him.
If
what team would it be?
If he was in this league, if Naps were in this league, and then you came last, what kit are we making him wear?
It would be an Inter kit, but he doesn't mind that.
Yeah, no, you'd have to put me in
or
like
an AC Milan kit.
Yeah,
Torino kit.
I have a Milan kit too.
Torino kit.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Nah, just put me in a Man U kit because I don't like them either.
Or Barca kit.
Or Barca kit. Yeah, put me in a Barca kit. That'd be the worst for sure. I don't like Barca.
Fuck man.
I don't like Barca at all. I just love the sport in general. Like, I hate how, like, people hate on other teams and players. Like, I could never hate on Barella and Bastoni, no matter how, like, what team they play on it. Even though it's the biggest rival.
I feel it. If they're ballers, you can't hate on them.
No, you cannot. Like,
yeah, this guy's my rival nation and rival team. And I can't hate on him.
Well, anyways, boys, I do have class at 1. So I do have to get moving, but
holy shit.
This has been another episode of the Six Share Box Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you, Naps, for coming on once again. I want to thank you, Antoine, for the input. Was brilliant once again.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Was it?
With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, once again, like you saw in our intro, charity match is fast approaching. You can check the first link in the description down below to donate and check out our Instagram for further details coming in the next couple of weeks. With that being said, if you are listening on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, do all the YouTube things. Hit that little notification bell so you never miss another episode of This Shithousery. If you are listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, give us a little 5-star rating and let us know. Is it panic station for Real Madrid? Is it panic station for Real Madrid?
That's a good question.
With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we will see you all in the coming days for a little Champions League recap. Goodbye.
We out.
See ya.